This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 43, Text 3. No, Text 2. Rangadvaram samasadhyā tasminagamavastitam apasyat kuvalayapidam krishnam bhashtapachoditam Rangadvaram samasadhyā tasminagamavastitam apasyat kuvalayapidam krishnam bhashtapachoditam Rangadvaram samasadhyā Tasminagamavastitam apasyakuvalayapidam krishnam bhashtapachoditam of the arena varam the gate samasadhya reaching Tasmin, in that place, Nagam, an elephant, Avashtitam, standing, Apasyat, he saw, Kuvalayapidam, name Kuvalayapida, Krishna, Lord Krishna, Ambasta, by his keeper, Prachoditam, urged on. Translation. When Lord Krishna reached the entrance to the arena, he saw the elephant Kuvalayapida blocking his way at the urging of his keeper. Purport. The elephant keeper revealed his malicious intent by blocking Lord Krishna's entrance into the arena. Translation. Securely binding up his clothes and tying back his curly locks, Lord Krishna addressed the elephant keeper with words as grave as the rumbling of a cloud. Lord Krishna said, O driver, driver, move aside at once and let us pass. If you don't, this very day I will send you both and your elephant to the abode of Yamaraj. Thus threatened, the elephant keeper became angry. He goaded his furious elephant, who appeared equal to time, death, and Yamaraj, into attacking Lord Krishna. The lord of the elephants charged Krishna and violently seized him with his trunk. But Krishna slipped away, struck him a blow, and disappeared from his view among his legs. Infuriated at being unable to see Lord Keshava, the elephant sought him out with his sense of smell. Once again, Kuvalayapida seized the Lord with the end of his trunk, only to have the Lord forcefully free himself. Purport. Lord Krishna allowed the elephant to seize him so that the beast would be encouraged to keep fighting. Once Kuvalayapida had thus become proud, Lord Krishna again thwarted him with his superior potency. Translation. Lord Krishna then grabbed the powerful Kuvalayapida by the tail and playfully dragged him 25 bow lengths as easily as Garuda might drag a snake. As Lord Achyuta held onto the elephant's tail, the animal tried to twist away to the left and to the right, making the Lord swerve in the opposite direction as a young boy would swerve when pulling a car by the tail. Krishna then came face to face with the elephant and slapped him and ran away. Kuvalayapida pursued the Lord, managing to touch him again and again with each step, but Krishna outmaneuvered the elephant and made him trip and fall. As Krishna dodged about, he playfully fell on the ground and quickly got up again. The raging elephant, thinking Krishna was down, tried to gore him with his tusks, but struck the earth instead. His prowess foiled, the Lord Elephant, Kuvalayapida, went into a frenzied rage out of frustration. But the elephant keepers goaded him on, and he furiously charged Krishna once again. The Supreme Lord, killer of the demon Madhu, confronted the elephant as he attacked. Seizing his trunk with one hand, Krishna threw him to the ground. Lord Hari then climbed onto the elephant with the ease of a mighty lion, pulled out a tusk, and with it killed the beast and his keepers. Leaving the dead elephant aside, Lord Krishna held on to the tusk and entered the wrestling arena. With the tusk resting on his shoulder, drops of the elephant's blood and sweat sprinkled all over him, and his lotus face covered with fine drops of his own perspiration, the Lord shone with great beauty. My dear King, Lord Baladev and Lord Janardhan, each carrying one of the elephant's tusks as his chosen weapon, entered the arena with several cowherd boys. Jai Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki. So we see this, the Leela of Lord Krishna killing the great demoniac elephant Kuvalayapida. And of course this elephant we described the other morning, that he was very, very ferocious. He wasn't an ordinary elephant. There's some story with regard to this elephant formerly. He was a deva of the heavenly planets, and he insulted one sage, and he had to be cursed to be an elephant. But the sage had blessed him that finally he would be liberated at the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this particular elephant, possessed the strength of 10,000 elephants. And we told the story of Jarasandha, who with great effort conquered this elephant. He had a great vast army go after this elephant, 100,000 men chasing one elephant. And finally they subdued him, captured him. He was such a big elephant, a very powerful elephant. He was known all over, wild elephant. You don't want to meet any wild elephant, what to speak of Kuvalayapida. Anyhow, he was a wild elephant, big male bull elephant, with big tusks. And but he managed, Jarasandha captured him, and he took him and used him for conquering the different kingdoms. And one time he came close to the Mathura area. He wanted to conquer over Kamsa, and he made camp on the other side of the Jamuna. But on the other side, Kamsa was having a big festival, wrestling also. But that night, the Kuvalayapida elephant broke loose from his chains. Every night he was chained up. He broke free and went rampaging, stamping and killing so many people. He went across the Jamuna also, rampaging, stampeding and killing so many people. Finally, Kamsa saw him. He went before him, he grabbed him, and he just threw him on the ground. And then he just dragged him and he swirled him and he threw him back across the other side of the Jamuna, and he landed in front of Jarasandha. Jarasandha, previously he was thinking to fight against Kamsa, but when he saw the Kuvalayapida, he thought, well, I better not risk it. This Kamsa, I took 100,000 men to capture this elephant, and Kamsa just threw him across the other side of the Jamuna. So he decided to make alliance with King Kamsa, and as an act of gratitude and charity, he offered his daughters in marriage to Kamsa. Asti and Prapti became the wives of Kamsa. In this way, there was a relation between Kamsa and Jarasandha, and that he became now the father-in-law. So there was alliance. Anyway, Kamsa had also, this elephant was given to Kamsa, and he kept him there. And his idea was that invited Krishna to come to Mathura. He arranged his wrestling. But all along he wanted to kill Krishna. This is his evil intent. And he had arranged, you know, in so many ways. And finally, when he heard Krishna had broken the sacrificial bow, he had one big Danu Yagya, big huge, and Krishna had broken it. So he sent this Kuvalaya Pida to stand at the gateway of the city, and Krishna knew that the intent of this elephant and his keeper. And we read. Let me turn this down. We read where Krishna said to him these words. Is this what it is? At once and let us pass. If you don't, this very day I will send you both you and your elephant, to the abode of Yamaraj. Now, Krishna, he threatened the elephant keeper, the elephant move aside. But when someone is very angry and very arrogant and proud, instead of being humbled by words like that, generally it has the opposite effect. And of course Krishna, he wanted the opposite effect. When someone is very proud, you know, to speak harshly, it further increases their pride. Generally with a very proud person, the best tactic, you have to take the humble. This is generally it works. Unless you're so powerful that even someone is very proud and strong, you're so powerful that within a moment you can just finish him. But unless you're able to do this, like Jarasandha, Kamsa was very strong, very proud, and so was Jarasandha. And he thought, man, let me take the humble position. And in this way, Kamsa was happy with it. So there's a lesson to be learnt really there, that we see here the reaction of the elephant keeper, even though he was, you know, here was Krishna and Balaram standing, and Krishna, move aside, we'll send you to the abode of Yamaraj. What, the keeper? Oh no, he didn't. That made him more angry, more infuriated, and he goaded the elephant. Now the elephant appeared equal to time, death, and Yamaraj. Here Krishna is telling him, I will send you to the abode of Yamaraj. But the elephant, to a normal person, of course to Krishna, who can defeat Krishna? But to a normal person, this elephant was so powerful, equal to time. We know that time, that no one can conquer over time. Kalosmi lokachayakrit pravito lokam sanayitam yaha pravita. Krishna says, I am time, destroyer of the worlds. I have come here to destroy all the people. I am time, destroyer. So when this comparison is given, that the elephant was like time, meant that, no one could conquer this elephant, practically. No one can conquer time. So we think that we're able to do so many things, society's progressing, and so we're making advancements in technology and science and medicine and all these things. Somehow or other we're going to reverse time. We're going to increase our longevity, and we're going to live longer, or we're going to, you know, I read somewhere some time ago that some scientists claim that now they think they're on the track of the gene something that causes the aging process. They're on the track. And they think they're going to be able to isolate the whole thing and then reverse the process. So instead of aging, we'll become younger. Well, You know, we know in the yoga that the yogis can, by the Kaya Kalpa treatment, they can reverse the aging by following the Ayurvedic medicine, and specifically Kaya Kalpa, that by certain herbs and medicines, and you have to go, I read one description, you have to go in the dark cave, or you have to go out of the sun. No sun. Sun actually ages us. But out of the sun, and then for the treatment, you have to get all the different herbs and everything, the medicines. And then after, I read one account of one yogi who was hundreds of years old. Another yogi, he was just new, but he was getting old, and the yogi said, "Oh, you're here in the Himalaya, I will give you some treatment and give you the new life." So in the yoga and the Ayurveda, they're able to, if you know the science, you're able to. This other yogi, he again became young. His skin became all fresh again. Teeth started to grow again. If we could have if someone could do like that, they would be a multi-billionaire. Imagine. No, there's not. They don't know yet how to regrow the teeth. And the hair again became back again, and black again. The eye, you know, generally you lose your vision, you lose your hearing. The eyes became again strong, and the hearing became strong. Skin became good, and the teeth began to grow. Everything, and the internal organs became renewed. Because not only outside, but inside also you have to. So this is Kaya Kalpa. So anyway, the sciences say like that, oh, we're on the track. we'll see. But eventually, time will, you have to meet the time. You cannot overcome Father Time. It's simply the Father Time. He is the oldest of all, Father Time. And then one has to submit. So the elephant was compared to the time. And death, and Yamaraj. Now who can overcome death? Everyone meets the death. Japa shudru mrityu dhruvam janma mitascheta. Krishna tells Arjuna that. But one who is born, death is certain. And one who has died, birth is certain again. So as soon as you're born, you will die. No one can avoid. So death, he was like death. When your time for death comes, that's it. You can't live any longer. It's like Prabhupada tells the story of the man in Calcutta, very wealthy businessman in Calcutta. He was told he only had, just a few months to live by the doctor. And he pleaded with the doctor, "I will pay you any amount of money to prolong my life, just even a few more years." But the doctor said, "I'm sorry, I cannot do it. You can give me everything, but I cannot, this is your condition." So in due course, after a few months, he did die. So no one can, sometimes maybe we can prolong, but death is going to be. And then Yamaraj. Who can withstand Lord Yamaraj? He is the greatest. Even Ravana tried to fight with Yamaraj. You know, there's one story in the Ramayana, actually, that one time when Ravana was conquering in the heavenly planets, he conquered even Kuvera. He'd had captured his Kuvera's chariot, which was considered invincible. And on the chariot of Kuvera, he was going throughout the universe, looking for the devas, looking to conquer them. And someone said, "Oh, better you go and fight Lord Yamaraj. He is your equal." So he went. And then when he went to the south of the universe, where Lord Yamaraj, he lives in the Yamaloka, he went. And as he came, then because Ravana, he went with his Rakshasas in his chariot. But as he went, and all of a sudden, he was covered by millions and millions of Yamadutas had come to attack, and they killed all the Rakshasas. Killed all Ravana. And they started to throw the weapons against Ravana. Ravana started to climb on the chariot, and then Ravana was just about to be killed, but he had one benediction from Lord Shiva. He had one powerful weapon, and he summoned that mantra, summoned that weapon, and by that weapon only. Otherwise, at the next moment, he would be killed by the Yamadutas. He summoned that weapon of Lord Shiva. And with that weapon, he killed all the Yamadutas. Then Lord Yamaraj himself came. And he brought all the Yamadutas back to life. Then he himself fought with Radha. And the fighting was going on. Finally, Yamaraj was just about to kill Ravana. Then one voice came from the sky. Said, stop. You are not to kill Ravana. He is meant to be killed by Lord Rama. So then Yamaraj, he became invisible. He was humbled to that voice. Actually, he's mentioned that voice was that of Lord Rama. You are not meant to kill him. Rama will kill him. So he stopped, he became invisible, and when Ravana saw that, said, oh, look at Yamaraj, he has run away. He is afraid. I am victorious. And he went back to his kingdom bragging, boasting, I am the defeater of Yamaraj. So there's many stories of the power of Yamaraj. There was another time I was reading another story where how one very sinful son of a Vaishya, a very wealthy Vaishya, he went to Lord Yamaraj. Actually, the story is that one time a Brahmana was coming on pilgrimage and he was coming to the Govardhan area of Vrindavan. And as he was passing Govardhan, he took one Govardhan Shila and he kept him worshipping. And he did the pilgrimage. And then he came, as he was leaving Raj Mandal area, all of a sudden in the forest, one big Rakshasa was coming toward him. This Rakshasa had the three heads, the three chests, the six arms, and the six legs. And he had a big long tongue that was like 7 foot long. Not only that, his hair was just like matted spikes. So he was coming towards the Brahmana, ready to eat him up. As he was coming closer and closer to the Brahmana, what shall I do? He picked up the Govardhan Shila and he hit the Rakshasa with the Govardhan Shila. All of a sudden that Rakshasa body fell. Dead. And in his place there was a very effulgent looking personality. He looked like the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He was actually the living entity who was formerly the Rakshasa. And he bowed down before the Brahmana. Oh, thank you very much. You have liberated me by the touch of the Govardhan Shield. I have been mercifully blessed and liberated. Then he went on to extol the virtues of Govardhan and Govardhan Shila and the worship of Govardhan Shila. Just anyone who sees or touches or worships the Govardhan or Govardhan Shila, one rock from the Govardhan hill, so much better. He is liberated even after so many sins. And the Brahmana said, oh, how did you attain this Rakshasa? Yes, I was very simple. Formerly, he said, I was the son of a wealthy Vaishya. But it was right from my early age, I was addicted to the gambling. And addicted to drinking and going many women. And all the time, and spending all my family's money. And my father and mother used to rebuke me again and again and again, become angry. And my wife also, he was married, my wife would chastise. I became very angry. I gave my parents poison and killed them. And my wife, I killed her with my sword. And I took all the money and I ran. And I became a robber. And I would wait for the people on the highway and ambush them. And with ropes I would kill them, take their money. Later I had a gang and we would go. And hundreds of people I would kill. Then one day, I was just walking and I stepped on one snake and the snake bit me and put the poison and I died. And then the Yamadutas came and they took me to Yamaraj. He said, oh, you have been very sinful. You have killed many people. You will have to suffer your reactions. You will have to go in the different hells. And for many, many years, I had to go the different hells, Patalaloka, below the Patalaloka, Narakaloka. I had to go there. So many different hells are there. Punish. And then come back again. He said, I took 10 births as a pig, 100 births as a tiger, another 100 births as a camel. Then finally, I took birth as this Rakshasa. One time, I disguised myself as a Sudra to go and into the Braj Dham area and go there actually eat some people. Then as I came, it was the time of the Krishna Leela, and I came in front of the cowherd boys, and they got some sticks and just beat me and drove me out. So I was very blessed by them, being touched by them. But still I had to remain in the Rakshasa body. Now, because I didn't get anything to eat before, I'm very hungry and I saw you coming and I wanted to catch you and eat you. But you are being very kind. You hit me with the Govardhana Shila and now I've been liberated. So the Brahmin was very amazed at the story, and just as he was looking on, one Pushpa Vimana, Vaikuntha Vimana, from the spiritual sky came and took that, formerly the Raksha, the living entity, took him back on, back to Godhead. So we see that Yamaraj, he was very sinful before, and he had to go to Yamaraj. So who can overcome the power of Yamaraj? Who can overcome the power of death? And who can overcome the power of time? Yet, all these things are under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's another story of Yamaraj, how he was under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You want to hear that story? That one time there was one Brahmana, his name was Jada. Another translation for Jada means he is like the stone of a crazy person. But anyway, his name was Jada. But he didn't live the life of the Brahmana. He was just doing the business, accumulating so much money, very miserly, didn't give anything in charity. Accumulating vast amount of so he had so much wealth that even kings would come to his home and he would dine with them. One time he wanted to go on the business trip to some distant place to increase his wealth, and he went there and he did good business, he made so much money. On the way home he rested under one tree, but following him were some dacoits. Oh, this is a very wealthy man. They were waiting. When he rested, they came, they beat him to death. Took his money and went away. So after 1 week, the son was very worried. Where is father? He didn't come home. So he went looking for him, went Billy. He didn't seem like father. He was going this way. No one said. Then finally he met mum. Like, oh yes, your father, he was killed. So the son was very shocked. He went to that, he wanted to find that place exactly. They didn't know where. So he wanted to go to Gaya to do the pinda for the father. But on the way he rested under the tree, just happened to be the same tree where his father was killed. So the son, he was different from the father. He was a very good devotee. He would worship Shalagram Shila, he would do kirtan, he would recite Bhagavad Gita. So he did before he took rest like that. And then all of a sudden he heard one sound in the tree. Boom! His father actually had become a Buddha, living in the tree. Buddhas, they like to live in the trees. Anyway, he was living in the tree. And then one sound came after he finished Bhagavad Gita. And there he saw his father. Oh, father, how are you here? He had a very effulgent, shining form. He said, yes, I'm very blessed by God. You have come here. You have done the kirtan. You have done the reading of the Bhagavad Gita. Formerly, I was very sinful and I was punished to have the Buddha body. But now you have liberated me. And the son said, is there anything more I can do for you? He said, no need to do the pinda now, because now the purpose of the pinda is now fulfilled. But if you want to do anything, my brother is also, he's very simple. He is in the hellish planets. Maybe you can go home to the and go to the temple and do the kirtan, reading from the Bhagavad Gita, do the puja, and pray for my brother and help him. So the son went. Meanwhile, the father, he went to Vaikuntha. Son went home, went to the temple, every day did like that. But when he was praying, he thought, why only my uncle shall be freed from the sinful life? I will pray that all the living entities of the Yamaraj, I will pray that they can be freed. So he's praying like that. Just at that time, Lord Vishnu, he was lying on an antasesh being massaged by Lakshmi Devi on the feet. And he was smiling. And Lakshmi Devi said, my Lord, how is it that all of a sudden you're smiling? What is the reason? He said, I've been observing one of my devotees. He's been going to the temple every day, doing the puja, doing the kirtan, reading Bhagavad Gita. He's been praying to release all the sinful living entities with Yamara. I'm very happy with him. I am going to reward him. I will reward him. So he called for his servants, the Vishnu Dutas. He said, you go to Yamaraj and you ask in my name that all those kept with him there in the Yamaloka, the sinful who are ready for the punishment, and all those who are already being punished, ask Yamaraj, I want them released. I want them to get the liberation. So the Vishnu Dutas went there, paid their respects to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj paid their respects. Oh, you are the servants of Vishnu. What can I do for you? Oh, Lord Vishnu has sent us. He wants you to release all these sinful living entities you have. You are punishing us. So Yamaraj said, oh yes, here's my master. I will certainly release all of them. But I want one thing. I want to come with you to have darshan of Lord Vishnu. So all of them were released. Granted the liberation. Granted the mukti. So he went before Vishnu with the Paid the breath, touched the feet of Vishnu. Oh, my Lord, I have followed your instruction. He made many prayers to Lord Vishnu. And then he said, but my Lord, now, what is my service? Because there is no one there. And Lord Vishnu, he said that, well, I don't need to instruct you. You are the great Yamaraj. I don't need to instruct you about your service. I am always instructing, you know, from within the heart, and you yourself have so much knowledge of how to do this service. You go back there. Don't worry, others will come in there. So he went back. And that the son of the Brahman who was doing that, oh, Krishna, gave him special, at the end of his life, he gave him a special place near his personal service. So we see that Lord Yamaraj is so powerful. Every one of us who is very sinful has to answer to Yamaraj. Cannot agree. But he is the servant of the Supreme Personality of God. So even though Kuvalaya Pita was compared to time, time is Krishna. Death is also Krishna. And Yamaraj is under Krishna. So what is the use? Very foolishly, the keeper and the elephant are thinking that we will attack and kill Krishna. And we see here, Krishna, he was just playing. He was playing. But he kept in mind at the end, he had to kill this elephant. He had the benediction he would be killed by the Supreme Personality of God and get the mukti. If you're killed by God, that is, not everyone can be directly killed by God. But we are all being killed by the external energy. If you're killed by God, you get liberation. In fact, Bhishma, we know Bhishma there, I mentioned the other day. He was praying, he had such a long life in the battle of Kurukshetra, he was killing everyone. And Krishna, he went there, said, oh, this Bhishma day, he is killing all the soldiers. So even though Krishna gave a promise he wouldn't fight, still, this Bhishma has to be killed because he will kill everyone. So he went running. And Bhishma, he wanted to be killed by Krishna. He put down his weapon. Oh yes, come on. Come on, kill me. I want you to kill me. But of course Arjuna, he dragged Krishna. No, Krishna, you gave the promise you want, so you cannot kill him. I will kill him. Krishna, he stopped. Arjuna, he had to kill his grandfather. That was a very lamentable thing for Arjuna. He didn't want to do it, but he had to do it. His duty was like that. So Bhishma Dev, he wanted, he had a long life, he wanted to do that, but he was tired of living now, and he wanted to be killed. Especially he wanted to be killed. But then he was killed by the devotee of Krishna, so he felt also very happy for that. So Krishna, when he killed someone. Anyway, in the meantime, he was playing. The elephant came, charged Krishna, violently seized him with his trunk. But Krishna slipped away and gave him a blow. Then he came running back and he just slapped him. He ran between his legs, dragged him by the tail. So how powerful is Krishna? You know, to be dragging an elephant. You know, no one can even do anything with an elephant. So he dragged him. And finally, Krishna came face to face, and he pushed the elephant down, ripped one of his tusks, climbed on top, killed the elephant, killed the keeper of the elephant, and then finally he walked into the arena, ready to fight with Chanura, Mushtika, Tola, Kotola, isn't it? Sal, all the big wrestlers that Kamsa had assembled, and he was ready to do the fighting. So, of course, this is all the Leela of Krishna. These things, they don't happen in the spiritual world, in the Vaikuntha, in the Krishna Loka. There is no asuras there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this is nimitika Leela, means occasional pastimes of the killing the asuras that only takes place in this world. And these personalities killed by Krishna, they are not ordinary, but they are either Krishna's devotees playing the part of the demons, or they are someone who was cursed, some deva who was cursed and for some wrongdoing, but getting the benediction that he will be killed by Krishna or one of the devotees of Krishna. So these are these leelas and these personalities in the leela, and certainly Krishna himself, they are not ordinary. Krishna is extraordinary. The personalities, even the asuras in Krishna leela, are not ordinary. So we should always remember this when we're reading these particular pastimes, and we should always remember that whatever form Krishna takes, whether it's Krishna directly, Lord Ram, Lord Varaha, Lord Kurma, Matsya, Lord Narasingha, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not something of this material world. Only fools think that when God comes and takes a particular form, he is one of us. He is ordinary. Fools think like that. They are called the mudha, less intelligent, foolish people. God can take any form as he pleases. He can become bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest. He can enter into the atom. He is so small we cannot see anything. And he's so big we cannot see. He is near, he is far. He is very subtle. You cannot see with the ordinary eyes. Therefore, Atasri Krishna Namadi Nabhagganam Indriya Seva Mukhijiva Svayameva Spuratin. You have to, do you want to know Krishna? To purify your vision, refine your, become more purified. And don't try to be directly the servant of Krishna. Yena bhakta jana pata nama bhaktasta chujanam. Yena bhakta tamamata, teme bhakta tamamata. Those who are who say they are my direct servants, my direct devotees, they are not my devotees. But those who say they are the servant of the devotees, they are my devotees. So don't try to see God. But act in such a way that God will want to see you. And then God will come to you. God wants to see your love. And don't be foolish and think that God, when he comes to the world, is just one of us. Although he takes different forms, Lord Varaha, Lord Matsya, Kurma, the tortoise form, the fish form, the hog form. Yeah, they're not ordinary. They are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All right? So tomorrow we can read on about Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram's presence in the arena of Kamsa. Anyone has any question or comment? Yes.
We hear a lot about
yeah, if it's a sage cursing, sometimes generally, it is for the benefit. No, it's always for the benefit. You could say always for the benefit. The sage, and generally they're impelled by some higher arrangement. Narad Muni cursed Manigriva and Alukubara to take birth as trees. Normally to take birth from a deva to a tree. Why he did like that? Narad Muni is supposed to be a great devotee. It's why he could, why he was so mean to make them trees. The sons of Kuvera, the treasure of the Indra, treasure of the demigod, his sons. Of course they were going naked and drunk and everything like that. So Narad he didn't like. They were swimming in the lake with many women naked and drunk. So Narad he didn't like, so to teach them a lesson, he cursed them. But so severe, one could think like that. Why so severe? Trees on earth. But Narad, no, he was thinking that, the trees, a punishment, but they will be liberated by Krishna. So they will get more than their previous position. So we read like that, that the sages always think, sometimes they have to correct even the devas. So they have to give some punishment, but at the end, that deva or whoever it is gets a great benediction, a great blessing. So it's always, the sages always, externally it may appear, they're very cruel, they're very mean. Why? They did like that, but ultimately, the greater plan is for blessings and benediction and higher position. Any other questions? Come on. Let's back to that.
With the sages cursing, so Narada Muni, he knew that was Leela coming up. He knew about the Leela coming up.
He knew about Krishna's Leela coming, and because Krishna comes so many times, and the great devotees, they know everything. They know past, present, and future. They have also been present in so many of Krishna's Leelas before. So many of Rama's leelas before, not only Narad Muni but others, also Hanuman with Lord Ram, even Jambavan with Lord Ram. He is like Chiranjeeva. He knew he was with Lord Ram so many times before. In fact, I remember reading in one Purana that when Ram was going to Lanka, and he was accompanied by Jambavan and Leela, he was going. Oh no, actually not. Ram was going other place. Jambavan and Leela were going in another direction. No, I'm sorry. Again, no, I was right first time. They were going with Lord Ram. And they were following Lord Ram. And Ram went in a certain direction. And Jambavan said, that's funny. Last time Ram went this direction. And this time, he's going this direction. And now, we're going another direction. So, there I read, Jambavan, he has been with Ram many times before. Because Ram comes again and again and again. And the same pastime is enacted, but Ram changes it also, little bit here, little bit there. So Krishna, so the devotees, they know. Yes, Krishna is coming, he's coming again. So they know. Yes, okay, I'll curse these sages, and they will take birth at the time when Krishna comes again. Any other questions? Jai Shri Radha Balabhava Ki Jagannath Balabhava Swaradevi Ki Shri Gaurisara Ki Shri Gopala Ki Gaur Primalandi.